I had no idea what it was, but I just learned you're supposed to just, you know, take it from the aunties and be very thankful. And I brought it home, and I opened it up, and I figured it was food or something, but I looked at it, and it was in this, it was really poorly packaged, you know, it was in this brown paper bag, and then inside was plastic wrap and this kind of a rice cake grayish jelly thing. And I was like, what is it? It looked like somebody's leftovers. It was this small. And I just threw it away, you know. And God, all right. And I had no idea what it was. And then Angel said, someone gave us a cake, some kind of New Year's cake. And I was like, New Year's cake? What's that? And then she showed me, and so there was this nice round cake. It was like that same kind of substance, that same jelly material, that the rice. It's rice, right? It's rice, right? Gray. It's like, oh, that's what that was that other lady gave me that I threw away. And I had no idea that there was even such thing as a Chinese New Year cake. I just discovered that last week. So anyway, that's how un-Chinese I am. So there you go. There you go. One of the worst was when I was in seminary and at the Chinese church I was going to, and one time I came in and I saw everyone was wearing their Chinese New Year uniforms, you know, and I was like, what's going on? Is it like Kung Fu Day at church or something? No one, like, I didn't get the email. And this lady, she just scolded me. She's like, don't you know it's Chinese New Year? What's wrong with you? It's like, they make it so complicated, and okay, I'll stop. But it changes, the date changes every year. You never even know when it's coming, so, you know, cut us some slack. Okay, all right. In the past, happy Chinese New Year. In the past weeks, we've been talking about vision at SCAC, so let's say those four phrases together. Save lives, change lives, abundant lives, consecrated lives. Awesome, thank you. And we've been talking about, this is all about vision. And so I hope that, you know, what vision is. Vision is just kind of a picture of the future that creates passion in you. So I hope that as you've been listening to these messages, that there's been this aspect of passion that you want to connect with God. You want to be a part of. You want to get in this stream of what God is doing in your journey. That you want to be what he's about in the world. That you want to be about how he envisions you, how you're becoming. So I've tried to put some statements in there. They're on your outline, for example. I love the way that we've phrased this, that we've said that saved lives are about throwing parties for people who are far away from God. I love that. Changed lives are about being transformed into the image of God through spiritual disciplines. Doesn't stop there. It's in order to engage a life of significance and promise that God is calling you to. Abundant lives are about creating beauty in the lives of others. I love that. Because we're all connected. We're all, community is so important to us. And we're not just connected just here in small groups and church, things like that, but we're connected to people outside of these walls, all right? And we want to create beauty in the lives of others. And today we're going to talk about consecrated lives. And before I just dive into that for a second, just remember that today is the day that we start our new discipleship emphasis and series. So after today, after sanctuary time here, worship, you're going to go either to A2, we'll start there. Tongues will be teaching the Genesis series class, or go to the fellowship hall, and then I'll be doing the Metamorpha class there. All right? There'll be no fellowship. Fellowship time will be afterwards, okay? Now, today again, we're going to talk about consecrated lives. What does that word consecrated mean? When we hear that word consecrated, it sounds very cultic, sounds very ancient, and it is. The Hebrew word is kadosh. Can you say that word? Kadosh. Go like this. Kadosh. One more time. Kadosh. Yeah, you got to do it with that. You know, it's a really cool sounding word. Okay, it's used all over the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I've given you three particular passages where it brings out some of the nuances of the meeting. In Exodus 19:14, it says, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he kadoshed them, and they washed their clothes. In Exodus 29:44, God said, yes, I will kadosh the tabernacle and the altar, and I will kadosh Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua said, he told the people, kadosh yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So in these passages, there's three powerful ideas. And the first idea in Exodus 19 has the suggestion of something being cleansed, something being purified. So back in ancient times, basically, cleanliness was literally next to godliness. They didn't have diapers, they didn't have handy wipes, they didn't have Purell, things like that. And so when you read the Bible, sometimes we read these funny regulations about clean and unclean, and if you're not clean, tell people you're not clean, things like that. And we think it's kind of weird, because today we talk about spreading germs. But back in those days, it was like, you know, you might kill somebody if you're unclean. So God had a lot of these regulations that are even written in the Bible in order to keep us clean. So the ancient idea of consecration is that of first of purity. You can write that down if you want. God is pure, and so he is the purest of pure. And so if we want to kind of come into God's presence, kind of be with God, then we don't want to contaminate God in that sense. And so there is this, he told them in Exodus 19:14 to wash themselves, to wash their clothes. The second idea from Exodus 29 carries the idea of service. In that particular passage, it says that the altars, the temple furniture, and the priests were all set aside. They had a specific purpose to be used by God in serving people, ministering to people. Now, what I think is really interesting when you read that description about the temple furniture being set aside is that this furniture, the stuff that was used in the tabernacle, the temple for God, first, it was made out of the finest wood, the finest stuff that you can get, the best material. We would say the purest material. And then on top of that, they put layers of gold around all the furniture. So it was just beautiful. It was the purest of pure. But what's interesting is that most of the time, when you go to the furniture store and let's say you buy a new piece of furniture and it gets delivered to your house, it's usually wrapped in shrink wrap, right? It's just all wrapped in this one huge pile of shrink wrap because it's valuable. You don't want it to get dirty. And you would think that that's kind of how God would have kept it, with this the best wood of the wood and layers of gold. But these pieces of furniture largely remained stained with ash and blood, especially the altar of incense where they burned the fat and the blood. And so I think this is a great picture of what disciples are supposed to be in this world. That yes, we're clean and we're forgiven and we're free, cleansed of our guilt. And some Christians, we want to stay that way. We kind of want to bubble wrap ourselves and we don't want to be contaminated with the rest of the world. I think this is a great imagery that consecration means allowing God to use you in this world to serve others. And sometimes in the service of others, in ministering to others, if you want to create beauty in others, sometimes that means immersing ourselves in the problems, in the messiness, in the pain, in the grief, and the anguish of others. The third idea of consecration is in Joshua 3:5, and it suggests the idea of this self-will. Of this consecration is not only something that God does to you, but actually you should have a desire to really volunteer. Say, God, I want to consecrate myself for you. God, for your purpose. God, I have this self-desire. There's something in me, God, that I want to be clean, that I desire to be used, that I desire to create beauty, that I desire to serve others and give my life away. So you can write this down in your outline. I think there's a blank for you. Consecrated lives are about giving our lives away. It's about giving our lives away in the service of others, in service to God, in serving the world. That's what we're doing. That's what consecrated lives are all about. We see all of life is sacred, and our lives are sacred too. And Christ gave his life for us, and we give our lives back to God in the service of others. It's on your outline. Great. Now, some of you might honestly think, okay, this is one of those typical pastor messages where he's calling people to quit your job or quit your dreams, put everything down, throw all your money away, be a pastor, suffer joyfully, move overseas as a missionary, something like that. And you could, that's totally wrong. That's not what this is about. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Okay? Consecrated lives is about giving our lives away in service to God in the everyday, in the average, in the ordinary. Let's just do a thought moment, a thought experiment for a moment, okay? Because I see people, Christians, even non-Christians, they live lives either in two ways. Either they see life as sacred and consecrated, or they live as if life isn't sacred or consecrated, all right? And what I want to do is just go through a thought experiment and bring these two ways of thinking to its logical conclusion. And I'm going to ask you to help me by periodically, when I cue you, okay, when I go like this, you're going to ask the question, what's the consequence of that? Okay, let's try that. Okay, great. All right, so we're going to start off with this first kind of worldview, so to speak, of where you don't really see life as sacred. Okay, you don't believe in consecrated lives. All right, so there's nothing sacred in my life. Well, in the end, nothing really matters, and nothing is that important. Well, life becomes kind of absurd. Our jobs are absurd, people's problems are absurd, religion is absurd, and everything is more or less random. Well, I end up caring less about other people, my job, the world, but I try to make life more comfortable and meaningful for myself. But in the end, I still have to admit that that's a little absurd too. I become more shallow and self-centered eventually. But it doesn't really matter what I become, because if there's nothing sacred in my life, then I understand that I am not sacred either. And it doesn't matter what I become, and for that matter, it doesn't matter what others are becoming either. Well, if it were just me, that would be bad enough. But if there are many like me who live the same way, it's hard not to imagine a world that is empty, poor, angry, depressed, and selfish. But there's nothing sacred in the world in the end, so whatever. Okay? That's the logical conclusion if you don't believe that life is sacred, that your life is consecrated unto God. Now, let's run through the same pattern with a consecrated mindset. All right? Life is sacred. In the end, it matters how I lived my life, what kind of person I was, and how I treated others. Life is full of purpose. Our jobs have purpose. Our families have purpose. My relationships have purpose. And of course, my relationship with God becomes central because He's the one who made all of life sacred. Good. What that means? You guys are very inquisitive this morning. I'm invested in the world around me. People are sacred, and their lives have meaning. And I hope that I can help people see beauty and meaning in their own lives, and what they can do and what they can become. That's an important part of what I do, because I understand that I myself am sacred to God. Last one. Well, if we live this way, that's great for me. But if we can help others live consecrated lives, then our world will be a very different place than it is today. And in some sense, we would sense as if we were living, as if we were entering in and experiencing what Jesus called the kingdom of God. Church, God has invited the whole world, believers and non-believers alike, the whole world to live a consecrated life. It doesn't mean it's easy. Sometimes it's incredibly difficult. As Donnie was saying, to see the beauty, to see the sacredness in our lives and in the lives of others. And it doesn't mean we don't have the hard decisions to make about life and career and relationships. There's a lot of tension in deciding to live a consecrated life. But I'm not going to talk about it because I think I'm a really bad person to talk about this particular subject because I'm a pastor. Now, as you know, we have a really cool guy named Chris Chu, and he recently came back from a six-month discipleship experience called Roots. And he's here to share his journey toward consecration, what that's about. So can you guys give a big welcome to Mr. Chris Chu as he shares.
Good morning. There's like ringing in the button. So my name is Chris, like Pastor Roy said, and honestly, I'm even less Chinese than Pastor Roy. So if you're looking for, I didn't even know it was New Year's. At least he knew it was, like a week in advance. I just found out like 10 minutes ago. So probably most of you are wondering, now I'm not on at all, right? Okay. So probably most of you are wondering why the heck I'm up here talking. And that's a very valid question because it's one that I've asked myself multiple times this week. Today we're talking about consecrated lives. We're talking about calling and what has God called us to do. And you would think, you know, Pastor Roy or Tung would be able to give a much better message about that. In fact, they'd probably have, you know, a funny story, and then they'd talk about Mia, and it would be really good. He'd have PowerPoints, and we'd all be like, so why am I up here? Because, you know, I'm just really like a very average kind of guy, like very normal, right? And I've been thinking, as Pastor Roy said, that's probably actually why I'm up here to talk to you. Because see, when Pastor Roy comes up here and he talks about consecrated lives and he talks about calling, you look at him and you're like, you're a pastor, right? Like, of course you have heard God's call. Of course you are answering and you are consecrated because you're a pastor. And no one in their right mind becomes a pastor without having some clear call from God. Like maybe some voice or some dream or vision or like some prophecy to become a pastor. So when he's up here talking about that, you kind of think, okay, yeah, he knows what he's talking about, but that's not for me. So the reason why I'm up here today is because I'm not a pastor. And I do plan on going to seminary, but I don't know where God would lead me after that. I don't know if I'm going to go into ministry. Today, I'm just a normal, everyday person, everyday Christian, just like everyone else in this room, except for Tung and Pastor Roy. So today, I just want to talk about the journey that I've had, just discovering my calling and discovering what it really means to be consecrated. So my journey starts when probably my last few quarters, maybe my last year in college. And I was graduating the University of Washington with a degree in chemical engineering, and I was really wondering what I was doing, or if that's what God had wanted me to do. See, I could see, I could envision my future just spread out before me, okay? I would graduate from chemical engineering and do okay, you know, and then I would get a job doing some sort of engineering field. I would get paid okay, not great, but you know, I was an engineer, so I'd be okay. And you know, through the miracle of online dating or something, I would find a wife. And then I would fall in love, I'd have kids, I would spend the rest of my days in Seattle, it would be good. I would come to church here, I would serve, I would be in the sound booth for like 35 years. That was what I envisioned my life to be. And I was wondering as I thought about that, is that really what God wants for me? I mean, by all Asian American Christian standards, that's a good life, right? You got a good job, you have a good wife, security, good pay, serving a church, like, that's perfect. But I wondered if that was fulfilling my purpose here on earth. And so as I started to doubt, I stalled for time. I thought about becoming a teacher, maybe, or maybe becoming a pastor, or doing something, I don't know. The truth is, I didn't want to miss out on God's call, but I didn't know how to hear it. I didn't know what it was. And so around that time is when I heard about Roots, which is what Pastor Roy was talking about. Roots was a discipleship training school that was put on by the Christian Missionary Alliance. And basically, it was to help train young people to live missionally, whatever that means. But it basically, essentially, to be disciples, to learn more about God. And the program was 3 months in Portland, Oregon, doing discipleship, doing training, and then 3 months overseas doing missionary work. And for me, that ended up being in the Middle East, in Jordan. And so this seemed like a golden opportunity. I mean, this seemed perfect, right? Where else could I better hear God's call? Where else could I learn more about him than a school, than a program like this one? I thought if God was going to speak to me at any time in my life, it was going to be right there. It was going to be in that 6 months. And at the very least, I thought, well, at least this is something new to try, right? I mean, my entire life, I've grown up in the church. I've tried to hear God's voice. I've tried to hear God's calling. I've done all these different things, and yet I've ended up with nothing, with confusion. And so I thought, well, if I might as well try something. If I don't try something, if I don't try something new, then I'll just end up with nothing. I'll be lost. So I signed up. Along with myself, there were 4 other people in this first program. And it's funny, actually, as we talked about our expectations, as our hopes for the program, almost all of them said the exact same thing. They said, I want to know what God wants for my life. I want to know what he's called me to. Some of them were thinking about becoming full-time missionaries, but weren't sure. Some of them were thinking about becoming pastors, but weren't sure. And then, you know, one of us was just like, I just want to go back home and go to school and be a normal person. But we all wanted to know, what is God calling me to do? And so suffice it to say, in the last 6 months and 7 months, I have learned a lot about God's call and heard a lot from him. But I think it's kind of funny. It's as normally the case, I found it all was already written in the Bible, you know, the last 2,000 years. And it seems like it all, for me, hinges around Mark 10, 17 to 22. And this is when Jesus talks to the rich young ruler. And so I'll read it for you. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, to be honest, I really like the rich young ruler in this story. Now, he's been given kind of a bad rap over the years. People are like, you could have been the 13th disciple or whatever, but you missed out, you blew it. But I really like him because I've come to identify so much with him in his story. Now, if you listen to his story in short, he says, all these commands I have kept since I was a boy. He's done all the right things, right? He's obeyed all the rules. And I feel a lot like that's kind of my life. See, I grew up in the church. I've been going here my entire life. And I've obeyed all the rules. I've done all the right things, said all the right words, went to the right fellowships. I did everything. And yet, somehow, it seems like something is missing from my life. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, a lot of us can identify with him. A lot of us here and in the church abroad, we're all doing a lot of right things. We're all doing a lot of right works, obeying a lot of correct laws, and yet something seems to be missing. We don't seem to be complete. We aren't making any real progress in our walks. And so we come before Jesus, just like this young man, and we fall to our knees, and we say, what more must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks at us, just as he looks at this rich young ruler. He looks at us, and he loves us, right? And make no mistake, I fully believe that God calls every single one of us, from young to old, just as he called this man. And he says two things. He says, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now the first part of this is, go, sell everything you have to the poor. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, sweet. I just got out of college. I don't have much money, so selling everything is not going to yield much money. You know, great. It's not going to be too hard. But I began to think about, okay, is that really what this scripture is telling me to do? Or maybe it's more universal than that. Maybe it means more than that. And I think that the call here is a call for all of us, for each of us, to give up something, to leave something behind. So for this young man, he was called to leave his riches behind him. See, he was entangled and ensnared and being choked by the riches of his past life. And Jesus called him to leave it. For me, I fully believe that it's security is the thing that I had to leave behind. See, as I look back on my past, I can see that every decision I've made my basically entire life has been out of security, as a desire for safety. I went to the University of Washington because it was safe. In fact, it's the only school I applied to, the only college, because I was like, oh, I'll get in. It's close to home, you know, the tuition's cheap, it's a very safe bet, I'll just do that. And then I decided to major in chemical engineering, and I did that because it was safe. you know, it, you actually can get in with basically any GPA. It's open. I was like, well, I can do this and I'll make, you know, good money. That's a safe bet. I don't really know what else I want to do, so I'll just go with this route. At least it's safe, right? And even serving here at church, doing all these ministries for church, I realized that I was doing them because it was safe, because it's what I had always known. I'd always been at church, so I'll just keep coming. I'll serve in the ways that I'm supposed to because it's safe. I know how to do it. But I realized that I couldn't grow. I couldn't keep growing if I just remained safe. So God called me out of that safety. God called me out of Seattle. And although I didn't fully realize it when I left, it was necessary for me. And when I go to seminary, safety. And I can't keep growing. I can't keep moving forward in my walk if I don't answer that call. Now this first call is really, it's tough. It's really hard. God, he doesn't call us away from easy things. God calls us away from the hard things. Our past lives aren't something that you're just going to be able to give up on a whim. And it's not something we always think of as bad, right? I mean, safety isn't bad and Seattle isn't necessarily bad. I mean, the disciples, if you look at the Bible, they were called away from what? Their jobs, right? Their families, their security, their friends. They were called away from these things. And you might think, well, family is good. Why would I be called away from that? My home is good. Why would I be called away from that? But just know that God is calling you away from something. Now, this is an actionable step, and it's something that we must do, something you must leave behind. God can't and God won't do it for us. He's not going to be like, oh yeah, I forgive you, you don't have to leave, you know. It's not something we can just think about either. It's not something that we can just think in our minds. The disciples couldn't say, oh yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you in spirit and I'll read the works that you've done and all that kind of stuff, but I won't leave my job, you know. I'll come back to my job Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays I'll follow you. That's not how it works. They had to leave behind their entire lives in order to follow him. God is calling us, each of us, to leave our past life, but it's up to us to take that step. But probably the beautiful part is that God's calling doesn't just end there. He doesn't just call us away from something. Jesus says something else to this rich young ruler. He says something else to each of us. Follow me. This is the second piece. And so the question kind of becomes, all right, well, what does it really mean to follow God? What does it really mean to follow Jesus? So my first 3 months in Portland was training. And basically during training, we met up with a lot of different people. We met up with pastors and missionaries from the Pacific Northwest. We met missionaries from all over the world. And we talked about a lot of topics. We talked about everything from church planting to you know, the discipline of solitude, to just war theory, and if we should ever go to war as Christians, those sorts of things. All these diverse topics, but never once, ironically, did we talk about God's will. All of us
let it be. You said, and with that one command, it was all underway. Light and energy, gravity, synchronicity, orbits and galaxies, comets hurtling down galactic highways, a space-time valet, 1,000 years but a day, a brand new planet, hot with the fires of creation, life under construction, cells replication, DNA code, embedded commands of how to grow. Make yourself at home, woman and man. Walk the length of the land. Scale.
Jameson.
With the fires of creation, life under construction.
Great pastor, a very compassionate man, and probably the favorite person that I met while in Portland. And one time I stepped down from his pastorship position because two of his daughters had died tragically, and he couldn't take being in the spotlight. So after some time to recover, after some time to recoup, he started to debate about whether he should go back into being a pastor or to do something else entirely. And he was at this crossroads in his life and praying to God, like, God, which do you want me to do? Do you want me to be a pastor, or do you want me to be a teacher or something else? Like, what is it? And he said something interesting to us. He said he reached a point in his walk, reached a point at that crossroads, where he said, it doesn't matter. God hasn't called me to be a pastor. God hasn't called me to be a teacher or something else either. That's not what God has called me to do. God's call in my life is to follow him. And no matter what I do, whether I'm a pastor or a teacher or whatever, first and foremost, I am following God. That is what I'm doing. And we tend to think that God only calls pastors, or he only calls missionaries, and that when he calls them, you know, it's some divine prophecy. We tend to think that it's some dream or something they had to get a calling. But that could be not farther from the truth, right? God is calling each of us. God is calling each of us every single day. And so often we want a word from God. We want someone to say something to us. We want something. We call out for it. But the truth is that we already know God's command, right? Jesus is calling us to follow him with our lives and with everything that we have. I mean, it's a simple message, really. It's so simple that we want to ignore it. We want to gloss over it. We want to make it complicated. We think it should be mind-blowing and, you know, for some reason want to make it more complicated than it really is. But the truth is written in black ink on every single Bible in this room, right? It's right there. It says, follow me. It doesn't matter where you're working. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You must follow him with your whole life. That is God's call. Now, in the future, I am not sure what I'll end up doing. I don't know where he'll bring me or what I'll be doing, but I know that I'll be following Jesus. Just like in the past, I can envision my future. I can see my future. And it's not where I'll be working this time. It's not if I'll get married or if I'll have kids or where I'll be living. That's not the future I can see. The future that I can envision for myself is that I will be following God, is that I will be following Jesus. And that is all that really matters. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Today I don't know what God is calling you out of, but rest assured he is calling us all out of somewhere. This isn't just a call for non-Christians, as we want to make it. It's not just a call for even young Christians. It's for every single one of us. Everyone from Pastor Roy and Tung all the way down to the youngest Christian here. Ask yourself today, what have I left behind? What have I left behind for the sake of God? And perhaps more importantly, ask yourself, what are you continuing to leave behind every day for the call of God? Maybe it's anger, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's a past relationship, maybe it's riches like this young man, or maybe it's even something you think is good like your family or your home. I can't tell you what it is, and I don't know. But it's a decision that you have to make. It's a decision that you have to choose. Are you going to hold on to that past life, or are you going to grasp to hold on to Jesus more? My charge for you today is to answer God's call. It's always been there, and it will always be there, and we must answer it daily. Leave that life behind you to follow God. I'm here today not because I'm special, not because I've arrived, not because God has placed some extraordinary calling on my life. I'm here today because I'm just an average, normal Christian guy, but I've decided to follow God. And I'm going to answer that call, whatever it is I do. Thanks.
Was all underway. Light and energy, gravity, synchronicity, orbits and galaxies, comets hurtling down galactic highways, a space-time valet, 1,000 years but a day, a brand new planet, hot with the fires of creation, life under construction, cells, replication, DNA code, embedded commands of how to grow. Make yourself at home, woman and man, walk the link. mountains, run the rivers, drink from the springs, let your free will wander down the pathways of this garden called Eden. But wait, wait, have I got this straight? We gave it all away. We traded it away in a strange transaction. The forging of the first weapons, the spilling of first blood, the trampling and trashing of paradise, blowing the gift to pieces with a bang! So now the need for intensive care, so now the rainforest all stripped bare, so now the cities give birth to slums, so now the rifles and suitcase bombs. When it catches stride and runs free, tanks rattle and pound, soldiers get cut down, never getting to say goodbye. Why? Why are kids sleeping out in the cold, spreading out their mats on the side of the road, down in the dust, unable to trust or try, with no tears left to cry? Why? How did it feel, God, when you walked this cracked shell of a planet, cried like a broken-hearted child, the perfection of what was supposed to be, up against the brutality of our reality?
Still staring out at that hear their voices haunting me, saying, who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free?
Here am I. Send me.
Here am I. Send me.
Aquí soy yo. Envíame.
Maldito ojo.
Bienvenido.
Ojo.
So the message is just really clear, really simple, church, is that we're all called. We're all called, every single one of us. Believers, actually non-believers alike, we're called to a consecrated life. And I hope that every single person here, as you've been envisioning and going through this series with us, that you would seek, that you would say, God, I want to volunteer. God, I consecrate myself. I want to do that. I want to live a life that you had envisioned for me. And that's the most significant, the most important life, most meaningful life, purposeful life that we can live. Why don't we all stand? And just take the hand of the person next to you, because we're all part of one community. Going through the aisles, sure, across the aisles, that would be great. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just stand, Father, as just a small community, Father, just a small part of your kingdom, Lord, this morning. This little place, this little island, Lord, called Seattle Chinese Alliance Church and the community here. And God, we just run and recognize, Father, first, that you are the Lord of all. You are the Lord, Father, of this earth. And even though sometimes it is so hard to see the sacredness of this world, Lord, and yet at the same time, something calls us and something tells us that there is, and something inside of us, Lord, that part that's missing tells us that we are meant to be a part of the sacredness of this world and helping, Father, to make it beautiful, to be part of redeeming, Lord, this world. And especially as believers, especially as followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, following in his steps, you've called us, Lord, to that kind of life, a life that brings redemption to this world. And so, best that we can, Father, right here, we just want to dedicate ourselves, Lord, to not only just the grand vision that you have or for our individual lives, but to be part of the grand vision that you have for this world. Help us to throw parties, Lord, for people that are far away from you. Help us to grow intimate, Father, in you so that we can engage the life that you desired for us. Lord, help us to create beauty in this world. And we, Father, right now want to give our lives over in service to you for the redemption of the world. In Christ's name we all pray. Amen. Amen, church.
Hello? Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, Sunning by Locke. Just wanted to welcome everyone to Seattle Chinese Alliance Church and just want to take a quick opportunity to see if there's anyone new or visiting for the first time. So go ahead and introduce yourself, stand up and introduce yourself. So we'll just start with this side. Is there anyone new? Nope. Uncle Wallison, bring any friends this week? No. Okay. Hi. Hello. Hi, welcome. And then is anyone visiting from this side? Great. Okay, so I'm just going to make a